Rainmaker FM.
3, 2.
And now, for members only, I'm your host, Sean Jackson.
Data analysis is at the core of all online marketing. But how do you get the right data? And more importantly, how do you make sense of it all? And to go one step further, membership sites can be a little tricky, especially if you are using Google Analytics to measure your site's performance. On today's show, we have the queen of data analysis for Rainmaker Digital as our guest to help you set up analytics for your membership site. Now, don't let the title of our guest put you off. Data analysts can be very funny people. They just look at the world differently. This reminds me of a joke I heard about a data analyst that was flying on a commercial jet. When the captain announced over the radio, "We've lost an engine. There's no need to worry. We can fly on 3 engines. It will just take us an hour longer to reach our destination." A while later, the radio crackles again. "This is your captain speaking. We've lost another engine, but there's no danger. Our journey will take an extra 2 hours, though." Not long after, the captain is on the radio again. "We're down to 1 engine. We can make it safely, but we're going to be landing about 3 hours late." The data analyst turns to her travel companion and says, "I hope we don't lose the last engine. We'll be up here forever." In this episode of Members Only, Lauren Thompson, data analyst with Rainmaker Digital, shares her unique insights and proven techniques for setting up Google Analytics for your membership site. So stay tuned. Welcome back from the break, everyone. I'm Sean Jackson, your host, and I'm joined as always by the intellectual Jessica Frick. Jessica, how the frick are you today?
Fabulous, Mr. Jackson. How are you?
I am always well, always well. And I'm especially excited about today's topic because, you know, for years, you and I, Jess, have talked about the role of data in decision making. And certainly, you know, part of it is getting the data and then what do you do with the data? And gosh knows we deal with it a lot. But I started to think maybe membership sites have something different about them. And I ask you about that, and you're like, "Sean, let me point out the obvious," and it's yes. So you actually have driven today's content, Jess, because you want to drive deep into analytics and data when it comes to your membership site, and you have found the perfect guest to talk about it. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Jess.
Well, Sean, as you know, you and I worked together for many years, and I was doing the data. But today we have a wonderful guest, Lauren Thompson. She is our data analyst at Rainmaker Digital. And Lauren is not your average numbers chick. So first off, she runs We Ride Well, which is a really cool motorcycle website. But she's also the kind of person that can take data and turn it into a story. And I think that that's why it really matters for membership sites, because if you can't tell the story of your customers or your prospective customers, chances are good you're not going to hit your sales goals and you're not going to grow. You have to have that finger on the pulse, so to speak. And so when we were going to talk about this, there was truly no one better or more qualified to talk about this than Lauren. So hi, Lauren. We're so happy you're here.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for that lovely introduction, Jess. I'm excited to be here.
So, Lauren, I really appreciate your time on this because God knows if you're not on the show with us, you better be doing data for the company. So we'll make this brief for our audience so you can get back to helping us. But I think we want to help our audience, and here's why. I want to set up this premise, and I want to tell me where I messed up. So I set up my membership site, right? It's on WordPress. It's on Rainmaker. It's, you know, I've got my modules in there. I've got, you know, it configured up. And then, of course, I go set up my free Google Analytics account. And I take that little piece of code they tell me to do, and I put it on my site. And then magically, I start getting all of this information. Am I done at that point?
Definitely not. While Google Analytics is really powerful right out of the box because it does collect so much data, if you're looking at a membership site especially, you want to make sure that you're tracking all of your important goals and conversion points. So if you have free downloads, if you have email subscription calls to action, in addition to the regular Google Analytics e-commerce, you want to make sure you're tracking those as well and any other events that are really important to getting people to convert in your membership site.
So real quick, Lauren, when you say you're tracking goals, can you give us a general, 90-second overview on what that looks like start to finish?
As in the technology?
Well, the technology and also how can you tell that story from downloads or purchases?
Yeah, definitely. So basically when you set up a goal, you're either defining probably a destination where someone clicks on an email subscription, submit form, and then they land on the next page. And that would be your goal conversion page in Google Analytics. So then once you have that set up, what you want to look for is how many people were on the page that the potential goal conversion could happen, and then how many people actually completed it. And that's a conversion rate. And when you have several of those goal steps, you can string those together to an overall funnel conversion rate. And that helps you know, okay, so this person, came to my site on this page, they completed this step, and then a few months later, they completed X step, and you have an overall conversion rate of how many people have entered your site at one point and how many people have completed the final action, which is probably a purchase that you wanted them to do.
So talk to me about the type of goals, though, because I'm going to play the role of Jess usually on this show because I have a ton of questions about this. She knows what she's doing. I have no clue. So let's go through. And OK, so this goal thing sounds scary. Is this baked into Google Analytics? Am I correct? Yes.
OK,
definitely. So talk to me a little bit. I mean, what extra steps do I have to do? Because, again, I'm stupid about this stuff. I just put the little snippet on there. What am I doing with goals? Because you outlined several scenarios. So I guess the first thing is, what is it that I want to track? What is the goal that I want to track? And I got to identify, I guess, the pages for that. Is that what I'm supposed to do?
Yes. So first you need to identify. So if we're talking a membership site, you probably have a free download maybe, or a, an email opt-in or other landing page that you kind of use to pull people into your membership site. It's your funnel, right? So what you want to do is figure out the easiest way to track a goal is to have a unique destination page. And most, like Rainmaker, has a unique destination page after you've opted into an email list. And so you would put that, you would take that URL, and in Google Analytics, when you're defining a goal, there's a goal type and it's called destination. And you just drop that URL or the page path generally, but yes, the URL in there, it'll tell you how to do it, I promise. And then from there on out, it will give you some great analytics about, what your goal conversion rate is. But you want to make sure that you don't only focus on individual goals. You want to look at them all in a path, because they all add together. They all add up, and tell a complete story of your funnel analytics.
Now, let's say there are three ways somebody could download your new ebook. Do you connect them all as one funnel since it's the same ebook, or would you recommend setting up multiple funnels and why?
I would definitely recommend setting up multiple funnels because chances are if you have three different ways to download the ebook, then people are probably getting to those downloads in different ways. Because you might have some people come through, maybe it's a call to action on a blog post page, or it's a call to action in an email. And so those are two totally different channels. And so the conversion rates would be completely different. And you want to know, the bottom line is you want to know which of the channels and the strategies you use to get people to download or to opt in, make that first opt in to one of your free products is the one that works best for you.
Now, I've noticed when I go into Google Analytics that they have the value, some sort of dollar sign in a column right there. And it's like the value of the page, the money of the page. Because, I'm the CFO. That's all I care about is the money. So talk a little bit about, because you're talking about setting up goals, you're talking about setting up funnels. But, at the end of the day, this is all about money, right? Or it's in my world it is. Talk to me about setting up the money aspect of it. Because I've noticed that you could say that, well, this page is worth this much. Or, obviously this transaction was worth Y. So can you talk a little bit? Because if I'm setting up my goals and funnels properly, there is the option to put a financial aspect to it. So talk a little bit about that.
Yes, yeah, there is. And you are totally right. It is, in the end, all about the money. It can get really easy to get caught up on the conversion rate of one landing page or one channel or one goal, when in reality, you need to be looking towards if someone who completes that goal is more likely to make a purchase from you in the future. And that's kind of where setting the price, the value of a goal comes in. And you can say, if after you have enough data over a certain period of time, you can say that you know that if a person completes this action, they're likely to, you know, make a purchase in the end, and that will help you figure out what the value should be for that goal. But of course, you also need to have e-commerce set up on your site, there are plenty of walkthroughs to how to do it. It's a little different for whatever platform you're using, for whatever tool you're using. I believe, Jess, you might have to back me up on this, but I believe Rainmaker comes with e-commerce tracking installed. Yes. Okay. But if you have WordPress, you'll probably have a plugin that you need to use. And then it'll pass the product and the price value into Google Analytics automatically. And then you have all of your e-commerce data in there, and you can connect the dots from channels or pages to the actual purchase.
Now, Lauren, you bring up an interesting topic when you start talking about e-commerce, because that's to assume some people are going to be paid and some people are not going to be paid, which begs the question of looking, if we wanted to look at these audience members as different kinds of traffic, what does that entail?
Yes. So you bring up a very great point, which is the value of segmentation. When you have an e-commerce site, some of your people, as you said, will be, you know, they'll be paid members. They might have access to different areas in your site that other people don't have access to. And you want to treat those people differently from someone who's coming to your site for the first or second time and hasn't made a purchase yet. So what I generally do with segmentation, it's kind of a little bit of a hack, but if you have a membership site, it might be easy to set up a segment in Google Analytics, which is another form of a filter. And you can say, I want to track people sessions who have viewed this page, and you can have it be a member page, or you can have it be a goal completion page, or you can say someone who has made this purchase. And then you can separate the people who might be a member versus the people who might not. And that's going to give you that much more, that's going to make the goals and the e-commerce conversion data that you have that much more powerful, because you really do want to look at those two categories separately, because your goal for each of them is very different. For someone who's new to your site or is on their second visit and hasn't purchased yet, you obviously want to help lead them towards a purchase. But with members, you want to make sure that they're staying involved and engaged and they're coming back to your site, because while it is our number one goal, of course, to convert new people to your membership, if the member content isn't engaging and it's not keeping people coming back to the site or spending a long time on the site, then, you know, it's going to end up being kind of a moot goal to get people into your membership. It's better to keep a member. It's less expensive to keep a member for a longer period of time than convert new ones. So,
absolutely. So, Lauren, here's a question for you. Now, when you're watching these analytics, have you found that there is a certain amount of wiggle room that you have to apply for people that say, you know, do not track with their browsers and, you know, have cookies shut off?
Oh, yes, totally. When you do website analytics, it's really a trend, because if you have everything set up, you get it all set up and you get it the way you want and you just leave it, it's the difference between precision and accuracy. And I can never remember which one is which. but what you want is consistent data over time to give you good trends data. To get actual sales and download data, you of course need to go directly to the source. So if you're in Rainmaker, you would look into Rainmaker and see how many total downloads you've had, how many total sales you've had, because that's not necessarily going to be 100% reliable. But if you do keep the tracking set up the same way, you can use the consistency over time to look at trends.
I've got something to add because we're talking about all of this good, juicy data. But now there's something that I can contribute to the conversation with. Google Search Console. Talk to us a little bit about that because, you know, as a SEO guy, you know, that was where I spent all my time. And then, you know, of course, we would go to analytics to see the keywords until they, you know, decided to say not set, not provided, you know, would be the default. So talk a little bit about that because, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of analytics is telling you what happened, right? But of course, it's designed to help inform future decisions. And search traffic tends to be the, you know, a big source of traffic for most sites, and more understanding of that can help you refine it. So talk a little about Search Console, which kind of plays in the analytics space as well, right?
Yes, it does. Definitely. Search Console, I guess about a year, maybe a year and a half ago, released some amazing updated reports that do give you access to all of that keyword data that we lost with Google Analytics when they pulled that out of the Google Analytics UI. And so inside Search Console, it's really easy to set it up. All you need to do is take a little piece of validation code. And if you're in Rainmaker and WordPress, you can add that to the header. I believe it's the header. Check the instructions, but I'm pretty sure it's the header of your site. And then Google Search Console will automatically collect information about people on different devices searching for keywords and that click to your site. I think it gives you all of the keywords that you appear for. So you have impressions, you have clicks, and you can see which keywords your site appears for and what position it appears for. And then the click-through rate that people come from the search results to your actual website and which piece of content that is. And you can link that up into Google Analytics and get more of the data inside Google Analytics from Search Console, but only if you have Search Console already set up. So that can be, that can be very valuable to know which, not all, if you have a lot of organic search traffic, it can be really important to make sure that the content that they're landing on is, that you, the call to action you put on the content that they land on is tailored to the search term that they came across on. So if you've got one piece of content that a specific search term always comes through from, you want to make sure that the call to action aligns with that really well, so you can increase your conversion rate and get more people starting down your funnel.
Okay, so you're right into the space that now I'm getting excited. Okay, because here's why. You've got all the data set up, and we talked about funnels, we talked about goals, we talked about page value, we've talked about putting search analytics in there, we talked about segmentation. We've got the data now that we're starting to see trends, and I think that's a great way of putting it. It's more of a trend analysis than anything else. Now I'm going to ask you the magic question. So what? Okay. What do I do now? Because dang it, I have bills to pay and I want to know how I can use this information to get more people into my process so that I can sit there and have a financial benefit from it as I help people succeed with the value proposition I'm offering. So tell me more about how to use this to get more.
Definitely. So in order for this to really work, you have to have a funnel set up. And by funnel, I mean, a lot of people will sit through and say, okay, I want someone to land on my homepage, and then I want someone to land on this piece of content, and then I want them to click this call to action, and then maybe later I'll send them an email with this. I don't really mean that. I mean a very specific, tight funnel that necessarily leads one person from one step to the next. So if you have, you know that people come in a lot to one piece of content from organic search that has really good rankings, what's your call to action on that? What are you going to get someone to do? Maybe it's opt into an email list. And so then you need to set up an autoresponder that had the next call to action in it. And so that necessarily flow together. When you have that kind of structure in place, that's really where this kind of analytics can shine, especially for a membership site, because you can see the entire goal. Okay, so this many people came in this month from a piece of organic or from to this piece of content from organic search, and this many people at the other end of the funnel ended up converting. And then you can check at each spot in the conversion in the funnel line and see, okay, they got this email. But, oh, only, you know, maybe 4% actually took me up on that offer. If I work to improve that joint, in this funnel flow, then I can improve my overall conversions. And also, if you want to go beyond your audience, you can start to use this information to run different ads. We've had some success with Facebook ads. We've had some success with paid search ads. And when you know already what types of people are going down which paths, it's a lot easier to have a lot of success setting up some ads that pull in new people that have similar characteristics to those same people, because you already know you have a solid funnel that's going to pull someone in for a low cost and get you those conversions and make you that profit.
That makes a lot of sense. So, Lauren, here is the $20 question. You know, Jay-Z says, "I'm not a businessman, I'm a businessman." And I think a lot of our listeners probably feel the same way about their website. They don't have a business website. The website is their business. So You're already busy running your business. How much time would you say is the minimum amount of time somebody could spend looking at their analytics? And why do you think it's important to even bother?
Definitely. Well, I would say the first thing about analytics is that it's more upfront time than day-to-day time. If you can set aside one day, one half of a day to get things set up the way you want it, then you can create Google Analytics has a dashboard feature, and you can pull just the charts and just the conversion rates that you need into one dashboard and only check that. So 5 minutes a day, and then see exactly what you might need to work on. So there you can, if you do devote the time upfront, it can become a very minimal background activity that you do just to keep a pulse, like literally just like checking your blood pressure. It does not take a very long time at all. What was your second part of your question?
Why does it matter? Like,
really, oh, yes.
If you are just running your business and you feel like, look, I know that when I send this email out, it's proven to do this kind of business. Why do they even need to get into the Google Analytics of it?
Well, because not everything does what you'd expect, first of all. You know that if you can kind of, there are a lot of people have a lot of good intuition about what's going to happen with their business. And that's fantastic. And oftentimes intuition can get you a really, really long, really, really long way because you have that good instinct. But when you start kind of, there's a point at which you might start maxing out your intuition and start reaching the limits of, okay, this is what I know. And so when you get into the data, when you get into the website analytics, you can start to find those finer points that you might not even realize were leaking money. So that's why I'd say it's important. I mean, just knowing what's going on can do, you know, it doesn't have to take much time. It just something that you look at and you see, oh, okay, when I sent this email, this happened. And it makes it so you can predict more things over the long term. If you just run promotions, if you just put one promotion out 1 month and then another promotion out another, you might have like an idea how well those promotions are going to do because you know your audience. But it makes it very hard to say, well, I ran this promotion this month, so what does that mean for my revenue next month? If you create these long-term ongoing funnels and put into place these ongoing data processes, you can do a lot less work and get a lot more out of it, frankly.
Less work, get more.
So let's do this. To wrap up the show, I want a couple of tips. I want a couple of tactics. I want something easy, okay? Because remember, you're dealing with someone with special needs right now because I'm not really astute as you two are. So help me with something kind of cool. For example, we talked about email. Is there something I can do in email related to analytics? Is there something I could do on social media related to analytics? Give me a couple of tips, tactics, so we can end the show with something that people can walk away and do right now after they set up the basics like we talked about.
Definitely. So one of the major things with email is tagging, making sure that your links, your email are tagged appropriately. And Google Analytics uses this thing called UTM parameters, and there are lots of worksheets online. It looks really scary and crazy when you first get into it. But there are a lot of worksheets and resources online. Analytics has a phenomenal one about how to make sure you get your UTM parameters correct. And what that does is it helps you understand okay, which email was this? You know, what list did I send it to? And you can put all of that information into your Google Analytics account. And that helps you get that much more use out of your data, because otherwise it just shows direct. It just shows no information unless you give it information to put into analytics. So that's a major thing that you can do with email. And also with social media, you can do the same thing. So if you, I don't know, I mean, with my motorcycle blog, I post a lot of blogs to Instagram, and I want to know that someone came to my site from that Instagram profile link or from the link that I typed out in the image caption. So I use Rainmaker's short link capacity to create a short link that's a lot easier for people to remember and type in. But once they put it in, it redirects to the page that has my UTM parameters. So I know that those people came in from Instagram. So that's going to be, after you've mastered all the basics, if you can master tagging and making sure the places that you're tagged that need to be tagged, just email and social media, are getting tagged, that's really going to take your analytics to the next level.
Excellent. So Jess, thank you, by the way, for putting this topic on the table, because I will say this is a matter that I've always relied on you and Lauren for. And so it's been so easy for me, but I know that many of our audience may struggle with this. So Lauren, thank you for being on the show. Jess, thank you for bringing this topic up. Is there one parting thought, Jess, that you would like to share? Because I know you have obviously a lot of data expertise too. So I want to interview you for one microsecond. What is some of the parting thought that you have for this particular thing, this analytic thing that people really need to walk away and think about?
Don't fall prey to analysis paralysis. Just get in, do your best, and you'll love it.
There you go.
Amen.
Well, I can't thank you both enough for helping our audience on their journey to success with their membership site with this very important aspect. And we will catch you next time on Members Only.